repentance. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The scene opens with a report of tragic events. Neighbors that were sacrificed by Pilate, people who died in the collapse of a tower. And people wondering, did that mean that they had done something wrong, that they suffered this fate? And Jesus said, no, that was not it. So that kind of lays to rest. Now, one of the things that happens a lot of times whenever something bad happens, you know, a lot of times there's always a segment of society that victimizes the victim or something, you know, that accuses the victim of that it's their fault that something bad happened to them. Certainly sometimes that's the case, but oftentimes it has nothing to do with their mistakes. It is all kinds of reasons why bad things happen. And so Jesus lays that to rest, that these tragic events are not the cause of the victims, but the cause of the perpetrators, or perhaps an accident, or lots of other reasons why things happen to people. But then he uses it as an opportunity to call us and his disciples and everybody that hears those words to repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he gave the parable of the fruit tree. Fig tree had stopped bearing fruit for 3 years. So the owner thought maybe it was time to just cut it down and you replace it or do something else with that piece of property. But one of the workers wanted to work with it a little more and give it yet just one more chance to see if it would bear good fruit. Jesus said about repentance, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the examples that were given were people who had perished suddenly without a warning, and tragically and unexpected, but in either event, very thorough. It was, they lost everything in their life. So that's one sense in which I think he referred not necessarily by these particular means that a person would perish, but in those ways that we would lose everything unexpectedly and not be able to recover. Repentance is to turn from what we're doing, to go another direction or do another way, do things a different way, change course, make adjustments that are necessary in our lives to be improving what we're doing. And to bear fruit is to be productive and to have results. Wesley asked this question of the preachers, which in his day were all laity. We were all laity in the Methodist movement. And we today continue that tradition of lay servants and lay preaching. His question is of us, have they fruit? In the Bible, there are several famous stories about related to repentance. Noah's Ark was one because the whole world needed to repent, right? But they didn't, and it was a reset time in the scripture as we think about the events surrounding Noah's Ark. Or Jonah and Nineveh, that's another famous story about Jonah being sent to Nineveh to challenge the people to repent or perish. And then John the Baptist, his way of introducing Christ was by preaching and baptizing people for the remission of sins. And he challenged people to change their ways, how they treated each other, and how they were following God, and how they were looking at faith and society. He challenged them on all these fronts and challenged them as he challenges us today through them to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. The challenge and call of Lent is that we would repent. The message in Mark's gospel, a fast-moving highlights of the life of Christ and his teachings and his actions. And it begins with Jesus appearing, and he said this is the beginning of the gospel. Jesus came out preaching, and this is what he said: the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the theme of the Lenten season: repenting and believing the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached that great sermon after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in Mars Hill, when Paul was years later, preaching to the people of Mars Hill in Athens and introducing those to the gospel and talking about the resurrection of Christ. And he said, and at the time, talking about people worshiping all different gods and going all different directions, and he said, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We recently had a time where we studied the fruits of the Spirit here at Bryansburg and went each week with a different fruit based on what Paul had written to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the kind of fruit that God is expecting of us when we repent. That is the kind of fruit that we are expected to bear, to produce in our lives, the kind of changes and the kind of results of our repentance. On the night he gave himself up for us, Jesus talked about the parable of the vine, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that our job then is to bear fruit on that vine. And he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The book of the Revelation ends the Bible with a dramatic picture of the city of New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And down the median of the main street of this city runs the river of the water of life. And on the banks of the river, there is planted on both sides of the banks of the river, up along the that beautiful river, there is a tree of life. And it bears all kinds of fruit. And its leaves are for the healing of the nations. That's where God is wanting to lead us, into that place where we're bearing more fruit, these kinds of spiritual fruit, where we're making the changes that need to be made every day in our personal lives, in our thinking, in our actions, in our communications, in all that we do, so that we can have those kind of results in our lives, and that we can, not only for ourselves, but we can share those with others and bring healing to others, that they might have that joy and peace and love and the other gifts in their lives. God doesn't want anybody to perish, and so he's using us to help accomplish his will and lets us be a part of that, starting with ourselves and extending that salvation to all the world around us. Peter wrote that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some people count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One night the disciples were on a boat, and that famous story of they crossing the sea and the storm came up, and they thought they would perish. They thought they would their boat would just be smashed up and they would die at sea. And Jesus, meanwhile, remember, he was asleep in the back of the boat. And as they made their commotion over their fear, they woke Jesus up. And remember what he did? He didn't say, okay, too bad for y'all. No, he calmed the sea. He fixed the problem. He saved them. He helped them. It was not his will that they should perish, but that they should have life and peace. And he said, peace, be still. He wanted them to have the joy of salvation in that moment. And he did what was necessary in order for them to have the salvation they needed in that situation. And that's what God is all about in our lives. Remember John 3:16? Let's say that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That applies to every moment. We can see in that passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, you know, as that expands out and think about what all he was talking about and pulled together in that verse, that God would do anything for us. He loves us. He doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to have life. He wants us to have confidence and faith. He wants us to be able to trust him, to be able to depend on him, and to be able to turn to him and away from the things that are harmful to us and to others, but to turn to him and have life everlasting. That is every situation from now throughout eternity. Whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, whatever the struggle, whatever the fear, God is there with one purpose in mind: to help us, to love us, to fix it, to make it work, to bring us to life in each moment. We have the story of the prodigal son, another famous story in the Bible of repentance, isn't it? Of the prodigal son who left and went the wrong way, made a lot of wrong turns in his life. And when he came home to open arms of his father who loved him and restored him and brought wholeness to his life and gave him another chance. And this time, presumably, it began to work out. The story, and as the story leaves us with that suggestion, that now he could be on the right track. Now things could be better. Repent and believe the gospel. Oh, now I see the cleansing wave, Phoebe Palmer wrote. The fountain deep and wide, Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. I rise to walk in heaven's own light, above the world of sin, with heart made pure and garments bright and Christ enthroned within. I see the new creation rise. I hear the speaking blood. It speaks, polluted nature dies, sinks neath the cleansing flood. Amazing grace, 'tis heaven below to feel the blood applied. And Jesus, only Jesus know, Jesus crucified. The cleansing stream, I see, I plunge, and oh, it cleanses me, it cleanses me, it cleanses me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanses me. In the name of Jesus, amen.